Let's dive right into the sugya. As I laid on the Maamar Mekomos, it might be kedai to look at the middle of the Gemara first alone, and then see the context in which the Gemara quotes that. Because in the middle of this piece of Gemara, the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, the discussion of the bracha or brachos of tefillin, the Gemara quotes from the earlier Amoraim, Rabbi Yochanan. So let's first see Rabbi Yochanan alone, and then we'll sort of work our way out to see the context in which Rabbi Yochanan is quoted. See on the second line, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, Shalach Rav Chiya Brei de Rav Huna Mishmei de Rav Yochanan. Gemara quotes that Rav Chiya, the son of Rav Huna, sent a message quoting the Amor Rav Yochanan. Yochanan from the first generation of Amram, Yochanan from the Talmidim of Rav Yehuda Hanasi. Rav Yehuda Hanasi, the compiler of Mishnayos. Gemara beginning of Sanhedrin says he had many, many Talmidim, two very famous Talmidim from the older set of Talmidim of Rav Yehuda Hanasi were Rav and Shmuel, who learned under Rav Yehuda Hanasi in Eretz Yisrael, and then they went off on Shlichut to Bavel, and they founded the yeshiva, the great yeshivas of Bavel, and they found what becomes ultimately the Talmud Bavli. So they were the two main Amoram of the first, Rav and Shmuel, the first generation of Amoram in Bavel. And Rabbi Yochanan is a younger Talmud. Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan said he remembers being seven rows back, and Rav was in the front row, and talking and learning with the Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. The sparks were flying between Rav and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So Rabbi Yochanan was also in the shir, but he was a younger Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan stays in Eretz Yisrael. He does not go off to Bavel after he gets smicha, and he becomes the leading Amora of the first generation of Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. So here we have Rabbi Yochanan. So the later Amoraim according to Rabbi Yochanan, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Here in the third line of the Gemara, Lam Vav Amud Aleph, Al Tefil Shal Yad Omer, Baruch Asher Kedishom Sosav Vitzivanu Lahaniach Tefillin. The bracha you make on the Shal Yad is Lahaniach Tefillin. Al Tefillin Shal Rosh, Omer Baruch Asher Kedishom Sosav Vitzivanu Al Mitzvah Tefillin. You say on the Shal Rosh, you say the bracha Al Mitzvah Tefillin. And this appears in statement of Rabbi Yochanan appears in Brachas Daf Samach as well. We'll get there, Mitzvah Shem, if not today, then tomorrow. There's a longer list in Brachas Daf Samach of the Birkas HaShachar, and these two brachas appear there. L'aniach Tefillin on L'shal Yad, Al Mitzvah on L'shal Rosh, as Ashkenazim, this does not look very surprising. Halacha L'masa, the Shulchan Aruch mentions that when you say L'haniach Tefillin, with the bracha on L'shal Yad, you want to say L'haniach, not L'haniach. Where does that come from? So it begins with Beis Yosef, you may have seen. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Ogur. Here, Beis Yosef in Simon Chafhei, the first Simon Hilchos Tefillin. Beis Yosef quotes from the Ogur, B'Shem the Maharil. These are very late Ashkenazi Rishonim, 1400s. Yesh levarech lehoniach bekomatz tachasahei, avalo bepatach uvedagesh. It's lehaniach, not lehaniach. Avki ein chiluk b'mashmaos doesn't really change the meaning, but mikal makom ra'ui levarech b'lashon hakasuv. Even though it means the same either way, lehaniach, lehaniach, that's the way the Ogur presents it, the Maharil presents it, but you should seek to say the brachas with proper dikta. You should seek to pronounce the brachas properly. After all, a pasuk in Yechezkel, lehoniach bracha el beisecha, to place bracha into your home. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Maharil, it's a mild issue, but you want to pronounce it properly. So again, if you speak, interesting, the Beis Yosef is quoting this, it's only rather that the Ogur was a Maharil Ashkenazim, so they pronounced kamatz as an ah, or something like that. They pronounced their kamatz and patach differently. Interesting, the Beis Yosef would mention this as a Sephardi, to say lahaniach rather than lahaniach, with a kamatz rather than a patach and a dagesh. You look at the Mishnah Berurah, which you had a chance to see, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes, and that's right here in the Maamar Mekomos, Shulchan Aruch mentions this, liyavarech lahaniach bekamatz tachasei v'la patach uvedagesh. Again, that's based on what he wrote in the what he quoted in the Beis Yosef. Again, this is a great quick example of something that we spoke about. The Beis Yosef on the tour, Yosef Karo will give the whole sugya, the background, and then Shulchan Aruch will just give you the bottom line of here's what you do. That's as we just saw. Beis Yosef, he says, oh, the Augur, the Maharil, back and forth, Paskin Yecheskel, and then in the Rav Yosef Karo continues to write in his Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't give you that background, he just tells you, bottom line, here's what you should do. The Mishnah Berurah explains it actually does matter. The difference between lahaniach and lahaniach, they do mean two different things. Lahaniach means to place, to cause to be nach, to cause to rest. Lahaniach is to place. Lahaniach is to abandon, to leave it behind. That's a much more negative type of sound. Right? Leave the tefillin there. Certainly the tefillin is supposed to be something that you're very focused on, not something you're just leaving behind. It is something you want to lahaniach, to bring it to rest. Now that term lahaniach is a comment of the Bach that adds a little bit more. Going back to the page of the tour, Beis Yosef, as we saw earlier, Beis Yosef is and the Bach are the two major mefarshim on the tour. Beis Yosef the Sfardi, Rav Yosef Karo, author, as we just said, of the Shulchan Aruch as well. And the Bach of Yoel Circus in Ashkenazi. The Beis Yosef is always on the inside Rashi position around the tour, and the Bach is around the outside Tosis position, so to speak. So Bach asks an interesting question. How come it's Lahaniach v'lo Likshar Tefillin? Why don't I say to tie the Tefillin? That's, after all, that's the language of the Pasuk. K'dichsiv ukshartam. The Torah doesn't say v'hinachtam. The Torah says ukshartam. Usually, the language of brachos reflects the language of the psukim, as he goes on to say. We say leishev basukka, because basukka is teshuv. Netilas lulav, to take a lulav, that parallels in biblically, v'ulakach nevlechem, to take the lulav. Lehis atef, to cover yourself in your tzitzis. Asher techaseba. So hachanai b'tfilin, why are we saying lehaniach as opposed to likshor, which would be the biblical phrase, the biblical term. And he explains, he says, no, if it was likshar, you would think that just a mitzvah to tie the tefillin on. 2 seconds. Iker, he says, is it yesh lomar, iker mitzvah tefillin, shiu munachem alav kol yom. The mitzvah of tefillin, really, to have them stay there. In B'tkufas HaTalmud, it was common the Jews would wear the tefillin all day long. Maybe take it off when it got dark. Even Bizman HaZeh, we don't have it on all day long, but the goal is for them to be there for at least a period of time, at least while I'm davening shacharis, the tefillin are there. If Chazal would have been saying that the formula of the bracha is likshar tefillin, have a mashma de masha kosher tefillin al yoda rosho rega achas, the achakach mesiran, yotze de chavaso. I was thinking just a chovas maisa. Do the act of tying the tefillin. I tie them on, took them off. Straps on, straps off. Rechman al tzlan. The Bach says that the reason why Chazal chose to formulate the bracha as lehaniach rather than as likshar is to highlight this point that it's not just a chovas maisa, it's a chovas totza, if you like lamdasha terminology. Not just about doing the act of tying on tefillin, it's about having the tefillin on. It's about the state, but keeping the tefillin on. So it's an interesting sort of tightrope that this bracha is walking. Going back to the language of Rabbi Yochanan, let's bring Rabbi Yochanan up again. Right? When he says there's a lot of nuance. We said, oh, Rabbi Yochanan is so obvious. Yeah, of course, that's what it says in my siddur. When you say Shel Yad, you say Lahaniach Tefillin. So the Beis Yosef and the Bach say, hey, there's actually a lot of nuance here. On the one hand, you could have said Lahaniach rather than Lahaniach. On the other hand, you could have said likshar instead of lahaniach. Likshar would sound like just tie it and take it off. Lahaniach would definitely focus on it being there. That'd be sort of the other extreme, just leaving it there, abandoning it, leaving it to sit there. No, it's lahaniach. You want to bring it to rest. You want to place the tefillin and have your tefillin there, not unattended to, not lahaniach, but on the other hand, not just right on and off. You want to savor with focus having the tefillin on. Having your tefillin on you. That's lehaniach. That's that balanced. So again, the tightrope, not likshar, not lehaniach, but lehaniach. having the tefillin there for a while with focus, placing your tefillin, having your tefillin on you. So that's the richness in the word lahaniach. Now Rabbi Yochanan has presented that there's lahaniach and there's al mitzvah tefillin. Now why is this so remarkable? So let's look at the larger context of the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda, let's back up to the top of the Yamad. Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda is a second generation Amora. Generation after Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rav Chisda, Soch ben tefillah, tefillah chozer mevarach. If you said, if you schmoozed, sach, like sicha, if you were schmoozing between tefillah la tefillah, between, here we don't mean tefillah as in prayer, here we mean as in tefillin. Tefillah is the as you figured out during Seder, tefillah is the singular of tefillin. Tefillin is plural. Tefillah is singular, if you want to be technical. So if you schmooze between the tefillah shel yad and the tefillah shel rosh, we just call it the tefillin shel yad. You want to be technical, it would be between tefillah shel yad and shel rosh. So then chozer mevarach. Then you got to go back and say another bracha. It sounds like you only make one bracha on the shel yad, and it covers you for the shel rosh as well. If you schmoozed and you made a hefzik, so now you're going to have to make another bracha on the shel rosh. The Gemara says, really? Sach in, lo, sach lo? Really, it's only if you spoke you make a bracha on Shal Rosh. If you didn't speak, you don't make a bracha. Here we go with Rabbi Yochanan. And now we see the context in which the Gemara brings, quotes, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, here's a bracha you make on the Shal Yad, l'haniach tefillin, and on the tefillin Shal Rosh, you say, al mitzvah tefillin. So what's the kasha? The kasha is, you always make a bracha on the shel rosh. How could Rav Chisda say you only make a bracha on the shel rosh if you were mafsik and either bracha on the shel yad isn't going to cover you? Rav Chisda said, Rav Yechon said, you always make a bracha on shel rosh. That's the standard practice. Shel yad gets lahaniach and shel rosh gets al mitzvahs, Abai v'Rava. So now we're going to the fourth generation of Amoraim. Abai and Rava, once again, we had this in the previous Amid. The Amri Travayu, they both gave the same answer. They did not argue. They both offered the same answer. Lo sach mevarech achas, sach mevarech shtayim. If you didn't speak, you make one bracha. If you did speak, you make two brachas. So by talking, you're generating an extra bracha, which is why we have a braisa that says, Sach ben tefillah tefillah. If you spoke between the Shayan and Shal Rosh, Averi Hibia, that's an Avera. That's an Avera. That's wrong. Chozer Lam Yaruch Muhammad, such a severe Avera, we might think, what's the big deal? It's a sort of Avera that we wouldn't allow you in the ideal Israeli army. We say, you're shmuz between Shayan and Shal Rosh, you're a Bala Avera, you don't get to fight. Only the ideal Israeli army is only for Hezronics. It's only for big B'nai Torah. But what was the answer? Okay, so apparently it's wrong to speak between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. After all, you're being gorim an extra bracha because you're hefzik. So how does that work? Lo sach mevarach achas sach mevarach shtayim. So as you saw, there's an intriguing machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Let's just lay it out, and we'll have to come back to Emirat Hashem tomorrow. Rashi says, Lo sach, if you didn't talk, you make one bracha, ein mevarach ela al shel yad bilvad. Then you only make a bracha on the shel yad. One bracha covers both. Sach mevarach shtayim. But if you did talk, then you have to make two brachas. Says Rashi, kiddush shalach Rav Chiya. What Rav Chiya called in Rav Yochanan, that was in a situation where you're a sach. Normally, one bracha covers both. But if you're a mafzik, you have to make a second bracha. And by the way, Rashi goes on to say, sach ben tefillah tefillah, that braisa, where you spoke between shel yad shel rosh, the avera is velo berach al shel rosh, ela samach al bracha rishona. Ah! So the avera is you were mafzik and you didn't make another bracha. So you're putting a shel rosh without the birkas hamitzvah. You're not fulfilling what Shmuel taught us on Daf Lamed Hey, that kol mitzvahs kulam ivarachar lein over lasiyos, and you're putting a shal rosh without a bracha. Ah, you made a lahaniach before, yeah, but you were mafzik. So you cut the connection between the lahaniach and the second hanachas tefillin. So that's the shita of Rashi. If you look in the Rambam, he says it as well. He says that if you're putting on both shal yad and shal rosh, you really only make one bracha. Make a lahaniach, and then put on the shal yad and the shal rosh. When do you ever make an al mitzvahs tefillin? So Rambam says, no, based on our Gemara, if you spoke between shal yad and shal rosh, then you have to make an al mitzvahs tefillin and shal rosh. Or, he says, let's say you only have a shal rosh. For some reason, a Jew is not putting on a shal yad. Why? Either he doesn't have a tefillin shal yad, or Rachmanel Tzlan doesn't have a yad. He has a cast, or worse, he doesn't have it for whatever reason. He's unable to put on a shal yad. He can only put on a shal rosh. So then you make an al mitzvahs tefillin on the shal rosh. But the Rambam says, as does Rashi, if you're putting on both, you make one bracha on both. And that is the simple reading of our Gemara. You saw that Tosfos, quotes Rabbi Yotam, this little Tosfos low, they say, no, they quote Rashi. And here Tosfos doesn't really explain why he's disagreeing. He just says, Rabbi Yotam pirish, lo sach mevarach achas lishel rosh, mevarach ha-mitzvahs tefillin. He says, if you didn't talk, then you just make a shal rosh, just make an al mitzvahs on your shal rosh. But if you did talk, then you make a two brachas on the shal rosh. Now we're going to have to understand how Rabbeinu Tam works. That's a lot of brachas. We're going to have to figure out how that fits into our Gemara. We just read our Gemara. Our Gemara seems to work pretty smoothly with Rashi. Next time we're going to dig in, we're really out of time. The next time we're going to learn Tosfos carefully and try to figure out how Tosfos reads our Gemara. Our Gemara seems to read smoothly like Rashi. And that is, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Sfaradi position. Mechaber paskins like Rambam and Rashi, that you normally only make one bracha on both tefillin, both of them together. The only time you make a second bracha is if you were mafsik. Ashkenazim, as you know, follow Rabbeinu Tam. Now, our Gemara seems to read simply like Rashi. We'll see next time that there's a Gemara in Brachas that sounds like a Rabbeinu Tam. We'll have to figure out how Rabbeinu Tam reads our Gemara. And then we'll also see next time, Yirtzeh Hashem, that not only are there questions on Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, in terms of how you deal with the sources, how you deal with the Gemaras, there are also questions, Misvara. There are logical questions to ask about both of them. We'll get to Rabbeinu Tam next time. But I'll leave you for now with a logical question on Rashi. Rashi does fit the language of a Gemara pretty smoothly. And you make one bracha, that said similarly in the Gemara. You make one bracha. Rabbi Yochanan said you make two brachas, one the Sheyah, one Shal Rosh. He answers, well, you only make two brachas if you spoke. But lo sach mevarach achas. Leaving aside how you deal with the Gemara and brachas we haven't yet seen, what's the logical problem with Rashi? We'll get next time to a logical problem about Tom. What's logically curious about Rashi? Yes, it is what the Gemara sounds like, but, yeah, based on the rules, what would you have said, Yonatan?
Yeah,
fantastic, Yonatan. Fantastic. According to Rashi, the reason why you're making the bracha on the shal rosh is because you're mafsik. So you would have been yosef with lahaniach, and now you lost your lahaniach. So why not repeat the lahaniach? Right. So that's a curiosity about Rashi, as though Chazal were only misakin the bracha. They were misakin a whole nusach bracha only for when you did the wrong thing and you shmoozed. That's curious. Yeah, Yoni. Correct. According to Rashi, lechatchila, what you're supposed to do when you put on two tefillin, both shayad and sharosh, you make a bracha laniach, you put on the shayad and the sharosh. And that bracha laniach covers both of them. Correct. If you were mafsik, that's how Rashi reads the Gemara. That when Rabbi Yochanan said you make a al mitzvah tefillin on Shavuot, that's if you were mafsik, so then you make a al mitzvah tefillin. And the question is, as Yonatan's pointed out, you said lahaniach is supposed to cover both of them. But you said lahaniach, you put on the shayad, and then you start schmoozing. So now your lahaniach no longer, your original lahaniach is not going to reach all the way to the shalrosh because you cut it off with your shmuzing. So if you need to make a new bracha, shouldn't you just repeat another lahaniach? How come Chazal are misaking a whole new al mitzvah tefillin just for when you're a mafsik? It's an odd, right? What? Yeah. No, that's what Rashi said. No, sach, lo sach mevarach achas, sach mevarach shayim, which according to Rashi means, if you didn't shmooze, so you're only making one bracha on your whole hanachas tefillin, lehaniach at the beginning. But sach, if you shmooze, then you have to make a total of two brachas, lehaniach before the shayad, and lehamitzis before the shavosh. O chozer mevarach. Ah, that's interesting. So you're saying even the language of the Gemara is a little bit difficult because chozer mevarech sounds like I'm repeating the bracha. Interesting. Go back, take off the tefillin. I mean, you. Yeah. So that is a problem. So we're going to have to figure this out, Mitzvah, tomorrow. Rashi again. Rashi says normally you only make one bracha sachakol. You only make the al mitzvah tefillin the shalrosh if you were mafsik, which offhand fits well with our gemara. The Yoni is pointing out the language of chozer mevarich in our gemara is somewhat challenging, and logically we're not sure if you need to repeat the bracha that you made the first time. Why not repeat the exact same bracha? Why are chazal masakin? And al mitzvah nunus of habracha just from people who are mafsik. Now, if you look at, I told you before, I'll leave you with a clue. That we mentioned before the Rambam is aligned with Rashi. If you look at the Rambam, he talks about a case that Rashi didn't talk about, and that may give a little bit of insight, a clue into how to make sense of solve the logical problem with Rashi. And Rich Shem tomorrow, we're also going to pick up with Tosfos and see how we understand Tosfos. That's going to take us into the world of Birkas HaMitzvahs in general.